May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever been part of a wedding party? Maybe a bridesmaid or a groomsman, yeah? Or maybe as a little kid, you were a flower girl or a ring bearer. Did you have any special responsibilities to fulfill at the wedding? Hanging on to the very important rings for the groom and handing them off at just the right moment? Or maybe taking the bride out for her last great night on the town as a single lady? Maybe scattering petals down the aisle or helping to pin on those always tricky boutonnieres? Well, the bridesmaids in our story today end up with one primary task and one task only. Wait. These 10 young ladies are getting ready for a great wedding, for a great party, and they are excited. They're excited about their dresses and getting their hair done. They're looking forward to seeing the flowers, the food, and the music and dancing into the night. But don't forget, 5 are foolish and 5 are wise. We know that the foolish bridesmaids are foolish because, well, because Jesus tells us so, right? But at a closer look, they are actually quite wise in the world's ways. Yet we know from Scripture that worldly wisdom is often foolishness to God. The primary difference between these foolish bridesmaids and the wise ones is that they do not bring extra oil for their lamps. They're not well prepared. But, this is a daytime wedding that they're going to. It's still light outside when they go to the party, so sure, the party might last into the night, but no one expects this bridegroom to be delayed until midnight. These bridesmaids, the foolish ones, are actually pretty well prepared. They do bring lanterns filled with oil to an afternoon party, just in case. When is the last time you brought a flashlight with fresh batteries to an afternoon party, right? Pretty well prepared. The bridesmaids that Jesus calls wise are actually, well, they're actually kind of ridiculous looking. What sort of person brings a lantern and an extra jug of kerosene to an afternoon party? That's kind of ridiculous. That's kind of crazy looking. The kind of person that does that might be a neurotic kind of person, right? It's a little silly to be quite that well prepared for all scenarios. But what makes this seemingly foolish decision wise is that in the world, things can and do inevitably go wrong. The bridesmaids wait for that groom to arrive, to welcome him and finally get on with the party. But the groom is delayed. Afternoon turns evening, evening turns to night, and soon it's become a sleepover. Finally, a shout awakens them. He's finally here. All the bridesmaids had what they needed at the start, but by the time he finally arrives, some folks have simply run out of oil. And so they miss the groom. And when they come back, he doesn't know them to let them in. What are we to learn from this somewhat confusing and sometimes silly and perhaps troubling parable? What are we supposed to learn from this story? Well, perhaps first you should remember it is a parable, not an allegory. It's not as simple as, well, this part symbolizes Jesus and that part symbolizes us. That's an allegory. This is a parable. A parable is more complicated than that. It's more deep than that. But even without clear symbolism, there is a lot we can learn. We can deduce from Jesus' story that there is a kingdom of heaven, right? There is a kingdom of heaven, and one day it's going to arrive. And if its arrival is to be likened to this story, then it's like none of us are going to be awake when it comes. Not even the best prepared among us will be watching expectantly. All will be asleep. But when that kingdom comes, what is it that separates the wise from the foolish? Those who are ready to get up and get going as soon as the bridegroom arrives, and those who are delayed as they rush about with last-minute preparations. Well, this story reminds me of a great magnet that one of my seminary classmates had on her refrigerator. I might have told this joke before, so bear with me. It said, "Jesus is coming. Get a pizza and a six-pack." Right? Oh no, Jesus is coming over. You better have something to feed him when he gets there. Jesus is coming. Get a pizza and a six-pack. Well, I've always loved that saying. And this is kind of like the difference, right? The wise bridesmaids have the pizza and the six-pack ready to go. The foolish ones are the ones running out around at the last minute to get it or to get the oil. The wise ones are ready to go. The wise ones are ready for a party. Because that's what the bridesmaids are waiting on, after all, a party. The kingdom of heaven will be like a party, Jesus tells us. A party that comes suddenly, and you better be ready to get down. Now, this sounds like a lot of fun, right? But being constantly ready to party, always having that pizza and six-pack ready to go, well, it can look a little foolish to the rest of the world. The world tells you that it's foolish to get ready for a party when the world looks so bleak and so scary, with violence and disagreement and poverty and pain. The world tells you it's foolish to love with your whole hearts because people are selfish and you're likely to get your heart broken. The world tells you it's foolish to help strangers because they may well take advantage of you. The world tells you it's foolish to give away your earned money with no expectation of reward. The world tells you it's foolish to give your time to a cause when you have so little time for yourself. The world tells you it's foolish to rely on and wait for and trust in a God you can't see, when you can instead trust in yourself. But as the ultimate partygoers that we are to be foolish in the world's ways and wise in the foolishness of Christ crucified. As the ultimate partygoers, we are to know that being prepared for the party often means doing things that the world sees as silly. As the ultimate partygoers, we know that it means sharing with a stranger, giving even when we don't have a lot, and leaning on an invisible God. As the ultimate partygoers, we know that when we live like we're already at the party, we get a glimpse of that great feast yet to come. The author of Hebrews that we read from today was writing to a new Christian community and wanted them to know just this, just how to live as if they were already at the party, how to live amongst a world of people who would look at them and see only foolishness. Love, hospitality to strangers, remembering those in prison and those being tortured, holding marriage in honor. This is how you live like you're already at the party, the author says. These things might look foolish or trivial or even weak to the world. And one more thing, the author adds, one more thing quite relevant to our Commitment Sunday today. Keep your lives free from love of money. Be content with what you have. For Jesus has said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." Worldly wisdom, those bridesmaids who brought only a reasonable amount of oil with them, they would tell us, well, we need money to survive. We need to make sure we save enough, store enough, invest enough. They would tell us that our future hope is in having enough money and the right stuff to make it through. But the ultimate party is not going to be hosted by any earthly millionaire or mogul or investment banker. The ultimate party is hosted by the one who foolishly gave his life so that others might live. And so, we foolishly give to. Every year, St. Stephen's asks you to dedicate a part of your year's foolish financial giving to this congregation and to its ministry. It might seem foolish because you don't have so much to give, so why give it all? It might seem foolish because that money would seem so much better spent on replacing your car or renovating your home. It might seem foolish because, well, how much good can a little church like this actually do, after all? But we don't just give because it makes good sense. That is the world's wisdom. We wisely give because, as I told the kids, it teaches us to rely on God rather than money or stuff or anything this world can offer us. We wisely give because, as our stewardship team reminds us, giving is being part of the team, part of the Christian community. We wisely give because we are living like we are already at the party and everything we need has already been provided. We are showing hospitality to strangers and remembering those in trouble and keeping free of love of money. Living in God's wisdom is what helps bring the party to everyone. If we profess the love of God here in this place each week and then go out and don't reflect that love with our words, our actions, and yes, with our money, then we are foolish bridesmaids indeed. I want to share a little something personal with you today. Something about my money. I like it. I like it a lot. I like my money sometimes. I even love my money. Being free of love of money is a hard one for me personally. Money gets you good things. And money gets you not only trivial things, things like shoes and clothing and kitchen utensils, all of which I love to buy. Money also gets you important things too, right? A safe place to live, good health care, and plane tickets to see your family when they live thousands of miles away. And it pays off the tens of thousands of dollars of student loan debt that you incur in seminary. Money does some good things. These are important things. But homes can burn or flood or fall apart. And even the best health doesn't last forever. And it's sad, but it's true that one day death will part us from even our loved ones. But there is one who will never leave or forsake us. Giving money to St. Stephen's is not just about funding the church. Giving money to St. Stephen's is teaching us to rely on God rather than on all those temporary things. It is formation in the life of faith. It is teaching us, as the book of Hebrews says, to confidently declare, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me?" It is practicing that kind of wisdom. So that is why that even though I do love my money, my husband Dan and I tithe. We actually give more than 10% of our income to the church and to other charities every year. I feel that temptation to love money deep inside myself, and so I know that I need even more practice for the party. Today on Commitment Sunday, let's make a commitment to practice for the party together by our words and our actions and our money. May the world know us as foolish, so that when the party comes, we have the wisdom to get up and join in the celebration. Thanks be to God. Amen.